Chapter 29. The morning sunlight was bouncing off the Duracrete wall, aggravating an already splitting headache and making it even more difficult to see through fogged goggles. Somewhere ahead, more than 400 meters above the nearest pedway and 2 full kilometers of traffic-choked skylane above the actual planetary surface, was an expansion joint in need of inspection. To Han, it was just a dusky line running through a blurry gray radiance, a convenient excuse to be floating next to Detention Center 81. He shuffled along the repulsor lift-equipped scaffold, a hover scaff, to the seam, then ran his gloved fingers up its length. When he felt a ribbon of sticky slime, he selected an electric slug paddle from his tool belt and ran it up the trail until he hit something soft. Instantly, the silica slug flattened itself across the expansion joint. Han hit the trigger, electrifying the paddle blade. The slug curled into a ball, and half a second later, it was killed and simultaneously captured by a barbed skewer that shot from the handle. Han quickly turned and thrust the body into the incineration vat in the middle of the hover scaff, but he was not quick enough to prevent its spiracles from releasing a noxious yellow fume that seeped past the respirator mask's imperfect seal. The stuff smelled like boiling tar poured into a Nexu's litter box. His eyes watered, making it even more difficult to see, and his stomach threatened to empty its contents into his respirator mask. Han stumbled to the back of the hover scaff and pulled down his goggles and respirator, then braced his hands on the safety rail and stared down into the traffic-choked lane below. Why he had ever let Terran Zell talk him into impersonating an exterminator, he had no idea. Except, of course, that it had been the only way to get a rescue team close to the building. Given the short timetable and the facility's stepped-up security, it had quickly grown apparent that trying to sneak a squad of imposters inside was out of the question. Then R2-D2 had discovered that the schematics on record with the Coruscant Building Authority and the Planetary Fire Suppression Office were inconsistent with modern engineering practices, and Zek had quickly realized that someone in GAS had taken the precaution of filing false plans for the facility. In the end, with no reliable intelligence except the precise spatial coordinates at which the tracking bugs had gone silent, the Solos had settled for the most basic of all plans: blast their way inside, find the Horn Kids, and get out. A respirator-muffled voice sounded from the other end of the hover scaff.
Who said it was break time?
With his identity hidden behind his exterminator's uniform, yellow hard hat, goggles, respirator, and white jumpsuit bearing the logo Run Kill Remediation, only the fellow's 2-meter height and the wisps of black hair brushing his collar identified him as Jaina's old mission partner and ex-sort of boyfriend, Zek.
Hey, I'm only human,
Han complained. Unlike Zek and the rest of the Jedi on the extermination team, Han could not call on the Force to keep his goggles clear and his gorge from rising. He had only his stubbornness and a lifetime of hard living to get him through the next few minutes of pretending. And for the first time in a long time, he was worried it might not be enough.
If Runkill doesn't want us taking breaks, they should spring for droids.
Droids won't do this work,
Zek joked. He glanced past Han's shoulder, then added,
Now you've done it. The boss lady is headed our way.
Han glanced up to see Terran Zell zipping toward them on her little boss floater. Like everyone else on the rescue team, she was dressed in a white jumpsuit bearing the logo Run Kill Remediation on the breast pocket. Instead of the hard hat and other protective gear, she wore a white supervisor's cap with a bright red bill that clashed badly with her auburn hair.
Sick again, old man?
She called.
Maybe you should stop going out on work nights.
Han shot her a watery-eyed glower that was only half acting. Terran was the only member of the rescue team whose face was unlikely to be in the GAS recognition files, so she had been the natural choice to enter the reception area and present a forged work order to the desk guards. Of course, that also meant she got to play the extermination crew's boss and take the easy job flitting around barking orders, while everyone else scraped silica-eating parasites off the exterior of Detention Center 81.
"Going out the night before isn't my problem, boss,"
Han replied loudly.
"It's listening to you harp all day that turns my stomach."